Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, and my dad, Dr. James Dobson. Ryan Dobson here, along with Luann Crane, my co-host. Luann, yesterday we heard the first half of a discussion about laying the foundation for a strong Christian family.
And Ryan, I'm no construction worker, but it does make me think of building or remodeling a home, something we've done many times in our house. And it's so easy to put a lot of effort into picking out the kitchen cabinets or the tile for the entryway or even those perfect throw pillows for the front room. But really, how much time and interest are we putting into what goes on inside the lives of the people who live within those four walls?
Oh, Luann, that is a great point. And it's really important that when you're searching for ways to improve and strengthen our families, that we turn to people who have a proven track record in their own family. And it's hard to think of many with a stronger, more loving family than our guests last time and today, Robert and Bobby Wolgemuth. They are great friends of ours. They've written over 20 books, many focusing on marriage and family topics. The book we're talking about today is called The Most Important Place on Earth, What a Christian Home Looks Like and How to Build One.
I love that title, Ryan. Robert and Bobby have been married nearly four decades. They have two grown children and five grandchildren. One of their daughters, Julie Tassie, will also be hearing from today. She is married to Christopher and they have two little girls.
We all have so much to learn from these folks who have already walked the path many young parents are on today. So let's rejoin my dad's conversation with them on this Family Talk broadcast.
Well, Robert and Bobby, Shirley and I have known you all for a long, long time. We've been friends for more than 25 years, and we've stayed in close touch as we've watched you raise your children. And I think you all did an absolutely marvelous job. And we have evidence of that right here with us in the personhood of Julie. And of course, that's also true of Missy, who wasn't able to be with us here today. But I want to ask you a question. Did you all have a very clear concept of what you were trying to do right from the beginning with these girls? I mean, was it something that in the first year of your marriage you said, if we're ever going to have children, this is the way we're going to do it. We're going to design it according to these principles. Did you know that early on, or did it just kind of evolve?
That's a great question. When we were driving from the hospital in Des Plaines, Illinois, to our home in Glenview, Illinois, we were driving down Central Road. I read about it in the book. I remember this so clearly. We had Missy in our arms, and we looked at each other, and we said, what are we going to do? Now, I grew up in a wonderful Christian home. Bobby grew up in a Christian home later in her life, and that's a wonderful story about how the neighbors invited her to church and so forth. So we did know what it looked like, but now that it was ours, we felt overwhelmed and completely dependent on God's grace. So I can't say that we were confident and we said, this is what we're going to do. We knew for sure that we had to be completely dependent on God and on His Holy Spirit, on the wisdom that He would bring and His grace because of the sinfulness of our own hearts, all of those things together. So thank you for saying the nice things that you said, but it really is only by God's grace.
And it is wonderful, the power of prayer in our home. We had parents that prayed for us and our kids. And there is no way to underestimate what happened because of prayer in our home. And we learned how to pray. We learned because we were so desperate. We said, Lord, this baby is yours. What do we do with her? We also had the wonderful joy of having a church where we could take our children and they would find other friends, where we would have adults that supported us. We have God's Word. The combination of things that are available to us as Christian parents is wonderful.
And just think of the help that you've been able to provide for families who have come to the point of saying, okay, I know that, but what do I do in this case? And what do I do in this case? And what's the right thing to say? And right? Isn't that the way it's all working
out?
And
you start on your knees. That's and right. You start with a dedication of those children to the Lord. Mm. And I've got a surprise for you.
What is it?
A staff member here on the broadcasting team came across something in archives that I didn't remember that I had put there. And this goes back to the dedication of Danae and Ryan, a number of years apart, by my father, and the prayer that he prayed for them. Would it be all right with you guys if we share that? You knew my mother.
Yeah,
I don't believe
sure
you
did.
Knew
never
my dad,
met your daddy,
because
no.
he died in 1977 before we met. Okay, first we're going to hear the baby dedication of our daughter, Danae, by my father on a Sunday morning at Pasadena First Church of the Nazarene in Pasadena, California. And this is what occurred.
May our Heavenly Father, we bring to Thee this little life, which has been launched into the troublous times of the second half of the 20th century. And we confidently have reason to hope that our life may extend into what is to us the strange and somewhat frightening 21st century. We want to remind Thee this morning of the Christian heritage of this little child. Her mother and father love Thee, and Thou dost know that her grandmother and grandfather, both paternal and maternal, have loved and served Thee. And if it is true that Thou art not unmindful of the deeds that are done in Thy name, and if it's true that our prayers are bottled up and are held in remembrance before God, we believe that even the great-grandparents of this child have a heritage of prayer that extends down to her day. We pray that it may be poured out like a rich ointment on her life. In a day of a spiritual poverty, let her have the riches of the power of the Holy Ghost. And as David prayed for Solomon, we pray, let her know the God of her fathers and serve Him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. And may she live, Lord, so that someday she may come with all of her people to that grand reunion of Christians where Christ shall be crowned Lord of all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
The power of a praying parent.
It is. It is.
When they, without warning me, played that recording for me here in the studio, and I hadn't heard it in many years, I covered my face with both hands and was really unable to talk.
Mm-hmm. When my daddy was dying, he had a rare neurological disease. And this is just 3 years ago. And I went to visit him in his home, and he couldn't read. He couldn't watch the Cubs play baseball. He was very despondent. And I said, Dad, how does this make you feel? And he said, it makes me feel useless. And I said, Dad, do you still pray for your family? And boy, he stiffened up, and he said, yes, sir, I do. And I said, that's still the most important thing that you could ever do for us. Able-bodied or not, it's still the most important thing that you can do for us. So my daddy, like your daddy, believed in the power of prayer. What a legacy. Now here's our encouragement together for the people who are listening. Many, many, many of your listeners don't have parents like that. Mm-hmm. They didn't have grandparents like that. And so our challenge to them, our encouragement, if we could embrace them, we would say, start now, start now, break that cycle so that when your children and your grandchildren remember back onto your life, they remember a godly grandparent or a godly parent.
And there's not one thing in life that competes with the importance of that.
That's exactly
right. Not one thing. Not an accomplishment, the money that you make, nothing competes with that.
And that's the celebration of different that Julie was talking about. That doesn't play well in our culture. That seems arcane. That seems old-fashioned. But it's still the right thing to do. And just thinking about this, generation after generation, again, our great encouragement, we are... our hearts go out in a way that longs for parents to say, even if we didn't, and this is the toughest role of all, they don't have anybody to look to say, we're going to do it just like they did. Mm-hmm. They're starting afresh. And really one of the major reasons why we put these things down in this book is to say, okay, take a deep breath. You can do this.
Here's the goal.
Here's the goal. And you can do it.
And I think one more thing is, if you don't pray like your father, if a mom and a dad doesn't know how to pray, the scripture gives you beautiful prayers. Ephesians 1, Philippians 1, Colossians 1. Pray those for your children. It is the most fabulous prayer you could pray. And it just will bathe your child in prayer.
Well, my dad obviously had a wonderful prayer life and sometimes prayed 3 hours at a time. You could kind of hear it in his southern accent there. That was conversational. He really carried on a conversation with God. Let's hear now the recording of Ryan's dedication just a few years later. And this was in the same church on a Sunday morning. And this is what he said. And he is introduced by our pastor at the time, Reverend Earl Lee.
Let us have James Ryan Dobson. And what a privilege it is to have Dr. Jim's father, Reverend J.C. Dobson, come and pray with this grandson that has come into the home and know that God's will is being done. God bless you. Would you pray for the boy?
Our Heavenly Father, we come now to dedicate and to baptize little James Ryan Dobson into the Christian faith.
Yes.
We are conscious that in the time to come, he will have to confirm this choice of ours with a voluntary act of faith of his own. Mm-hmm. When that hour arrives, we pray that he may be constrained by the love of his parents that they showed when they took him into their home, when they bestowed on him their name, when they gave him their rich heritage of faith, when they gave him the care and concern that made him their very own son.
Yes.
May he say of his own free will, like one of old, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy God shall be my God. Mm-hmm. We pray these things in the name of one who loved us when we were unlovely, and who shared with us his own great name, and who will one day share with us his eternal inheritance.
Yes.
For Jesus' sake.
Amen.
Boy, that takes me back.
Your daddy was such an artist with his words.
He was.
Yeah, I know he was an artist in real.
He was.
But he was an artist in the way he made sure you got the big picture of what he was trying to say.
Well, my father was laying out the goal, the objective. He was not just praying. He was talking to us about what we were here to do and what our purpose was and what our priorities ought to be. A few years into the responsibility of parenthood, my dad thought I wasn't putting the emphasis there that I should. And he set me straight and completely reordered my values and my priorities again, because it begins right here. Bobby, Julie is sitting here. Do you remember when she was dedicated in this way?
Oh, yes.
Do you have a recording of it?
I don't think we do.
No, I don't think we do.
Shame on you.
No, I do remember family prayers. We called them family blessings, where the Wagamoose would gather the children and the cousins together, and the baby or the child would be in the middle, and we'd put our hands on them, and then everyone in the family that wanted to would pray, especially Papa and Mom. And what a precious blessing that is.
Julie, how do you feel about your two little girls with this regard?
I think there is such a privilege on a daily basis to bless our children like this. When we tuck them into bed at night and we lay our hand on their back and we say, Lord Jesus, these children are yours. And they hear us daily saying, Lord, give me strength to be the mom that you want me to be. Lord, help my children obey you. Help my life to be a reflection of you, that they hear us blessing them, one of the nuggets in this book for me was endorsements of endorsing your children to other people, whether they hear you or not, endorsing your children to the Lord, saying, Lord, I know that you have given a purpose for my child. Mm. Lord, help me to be part of that plan. Help me to make this child a disciple for you, to speak good things about your child to your friends, even if it's been a really bad day.
Yeah, and the really awesome thing about parenting is that they are watching you. They see what you do. They hear your words. You think that they don't because they're so young, and you think that they miss it. And they may not turn around and say, that was very interesting, Mom. I want to try to remember that. In fact, they won't say that. But years later, it comes back to them. And that's why every day we're modeling for them. Mm-hmm. And
this goes back to the Old Testament we were talking about earlier, the role of priest in the home. Really, the parents are both prophet and priest when they pray. The priest would turn toward the altar with his back to the people, and he would intercede on their behalf before the throne. And the people would hear the priest praying their name, and then actually the prophet would turn to the people and say, thus saith the Lord, and would courageously tell his children what God was saying to him about what they needed to do or needed to stop doing or whatever. But it's that wonderful combination of prophet and priest. It is.
Bobby, Robert actually wrote this book, but he referred in the book to a scent of a Christian family. It has a certain aroma. Explain that.
That was a good word picture to understand that in our homes, there is something tangible. It is a spirit of gratefulness. It is because Jesus Christ is there. God's word is reverenced. God himself is honored. The attitude that pervades your home, the prayer that pervades your home, is almost palpable. And I think that's a helpful analogy to use the scent. We call it a God sense in your home.
Well, we hope you're finding some great advice on this Family Talk broadcast with our guests, Robert and Bobby Wolgemuth and their daughter, Julie. If you can't stay with us for the remainder of our time together, remember you can always catch the rest of the program at familytalk.org. Now, maybe you're thinking, boy, I wish my house smelled sweet like that. But I tell you, sometimes I come home and it's far from it. Well, let's rejoin the conversation now as our guests address how to apply a little grace and forgiveness in our homes.
Now, you talked about amazing grace in the book.
Yes, we do.
And it is about grace. And it is looking for who needs to confess. You look at a situation like that and you say, okay, who needs to confess?
And we actually had vitamins that we talk about these vitamins that we said, words that we said that would help us identify. The first vitamin is, I love you. The second one is, I need your love. The third one is the hard one, and that is, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Will you please forgive me? That spirit of confession, both from parents and from children, is absolutely the grace point where we say, you know, Mommy, I'm late and I'm sorry. I forgot. I didn't pick you up on time. I need you to forgive me. Or they hear you asking forgiveness on another level. It is constant in a Christian home where we are constantly forgiving one another and bearing with tenderness one another's faults.
And the other part is, like we talked about earlier, meals, where God has given us this hunger every 4 or 5 hours. God has also given us nighttime and morning. And one of the things that Missy, our older daughter, says a lot is, renew my heart every day. Give me something new every day, new every morning. That's in the scripture. You know, great is thy faithfulness. It's new every morning. So sometimes at the end of the day, you say, you know what? Nobody did anything intentionally bad. It was just a crummy day.
Say, I'm so glad this day is over.
Way off base. That's right. So the scent includes the things that Bobby talked about. It includes prayer. We talk about prayer hooks.
What are they? You need to explain that.
Sure. There are certain things that we do during the day that remind us to pray for somebody. Julie's husband, Christopher, is a chapstick man. And I know this really sounds gross, but sometimes when we're playing golf and he forgets his chapstick, he'll say, Dad, My lips are killing me. And I'm loaning my chapstick. Again, that's going to gross people out. But when I use my chapstick, I get it out of my pocket. I always carry one. When I get it out of my pocket and I pop the top off, I think of Christopher. And I say, Lord, just quickly, I say, Lord, wherever Christopher is, would you please bless him? I'll tell you an interesting thing, because you grew up Nazarene, Dr. Dobson, and I grew up in the Brethren Church. Yeah. We prayed on our knees.
Yeah.
And I pray on my knees every morning. And many, many times I think of you. You and I have prayed together on our knees. And I think of you. And I pray for you and Shirley and Ryan today every single day.
Do you?
Well,
really?
That's, I do. That's a prayer hook.
Well, we must end on this question. We simply must. We have, with this program and the one last time, wounded some people. We have made some people very uncomfortable because they're either never married and they don't have the opportunity to do the things we're talking about, and we'll never have the most important place on earth, perhaps, or the single mother who's struggling to try to implement the things you're talking about without the help of a husband, or a single father. We often forget them. There are a lot of single fathers out there that are trying to make a home and trying to create the most important place without the influence of a mother. And we must encourage those people that are out there, right? And not make them feel somehow like second-class citizens.
You're right. Most of the things that we've talked about around the table today have not related necessarily to marriage or to being with a spouse. It's really been about my relationship to Christ as a parent and my commitment on a day-to-day basis to be transparent, to confess when I've stepped out of line. That may or may not happen with the cooperation of my spouse. You also have spouses who are married to spouses who aren't
non-believers, yeah.
And they don't know what to do about this. So the encouragement is, this is really first about your walk with Christ and your willingness to be faithful to what he's called you to do, and really the role that Bobby talked about, going to church. The role of single people, not married, no kids, at church in the fellowship of the believer is a fantastic role that people can play, teaching Sunday school, being kind of a free adult to a child, and say to this child, you know, your parents are right about walking with Christ and about the importance of Scripture and all those things. That single person can be very powerful in a kid's life.
The title of the book is The Most Important Place on Earth, What a Christian Home Looks Like and How to Build One. Julie, I'm glad you came with us this time. Take care of those two little girls.
I will.
You ought to have about six more when they look like yours. You've got a great family.
Thank you.
God's doing good things. Give Christopher our regards. And, of course, for Missy and John, who aren't here today. And Robert and Bobby, it's always good to have you all here. This comes right out of your heart, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah. It's really our life. And I said, this is not a project. This is our life. And we do thank you for this incredible time together.
Luann, as we close this Family Talk broadcast, it is so clear just from the Wohlgemuths' voices how much they care not only about their own family, but about helping others learn to inject some spiritual life and vitality into their own homes.
Well, Ryan, we talked about it last week with your dad about how this is at the heart of everything we do here at Family Talk. We want to put an arm around the shoulders and put some tools in the hands of families who are desperate to follow the Lord and see their children grow up in that loving, secure Christian home.
Well, the starting place for connecting with all that we have to offer, and we have a lot.
We do.
Is familytalk.org, including the Wohlgemuths' book we've been talking about today. Mm-hmm. The title, The Most Important Place on Earth, What a Christian Home Looks Like and How to Build One.
And at familytalk.org, you'll also find Dr. Dobson's book, The Complete Marriage and Family Home Reference Guide.
I've got a copy of that.
Doesn't get more comprehensive than that. Mm. We also have a great section at familytalk.org called Solid Answers, which features dozens of the most common family-related questions, things you are probably thinking of right now as you're listening, with answers from our host, Dr. Dobson. Check it out, familytalk.org.
Or if you'd prefer to call us for those resources, we would love to hear from you, pray with you. Mm-hmm. Our number is 877 732-6825. And Luann, I'd like to ask some of our listeners to consider supporting the work we do here at Family Talk. We want to keep developing more resources and sending them to families who are in trouble. But the bottom line is, it takes funding to do it.
It does. In fact, right now we're making plans for the next budget year. Mm-hmm. This would be a great time to hear from you. You can donate when you call 877-732-6825, or even drop a note in the mail. The mailing address, 540 Elkton Drive, Elkton Drive, Suite 201, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80907.
And we appreciate your financial support and for taking the time to be with us today. Mm-hmm. And we invite you back to be with us next time right here on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.